Praise God. You know, would you turn with me to Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. And we're going to really go to the basic. I need some Bibles, man. It's a Christian church, right? I'm going to talk about real basic stuff. Three things. What is the purpose of this meeting? Several times we're going to meet. We're going to try to do three things, LRC. Number one, learn the biblical principle on relationship. And then I'm going to remind you of the things that you already know and heard. It's not new. Something you already know, like, oh man, I knew that, you know. So I'm going to remind you. But the third thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to try to make you commit to a relationship. It's not lack of potential. It's lack of commitment, basically, of the younger generation that does not result into this deeper relationship. So LRC, you're going to learn biblical principle. I'm going to remind you of the things you already know. But the third thing is I'm going to have you commit to a relationship that you know that God has given. You know, when I'm going to do anything fancy, I'm not going to do anything, you know, technical stuff. It's just going to be very, very basic stuff. There was a guy named Yvonne McGuire, this famous skydiving photo guy. He's so good. I mean, he's professional. He's done like 800 jumps, and he took all these shots. And he was going to do his masterpiece, and he's going to publish this huge publication. And in 1986, he takes a jump out of the North Carolina sky, 10,000 feet, and he's had all this high tech. You know, the digital was just coming on the scene, and he put all this fancy equipment and took a jump. And he dies because he falls directly. So they went and it's like, what's up, right? I mean, he's professional. What happened? So they went to the site and they found out. He got so excited about this taking photo, he forgot to put on a parachute. He put all this fancy equipment, you know, like it's like digital, you know, like put in the head, and he just forgot the parachute, right? So it wasn't pretty, right? So he's known as a fantastic photo guy, but not so smart. What we're gonna do this weekend? We're not gonna talk about high tech stuff. You know what I mean? We're gonna talk about parachute. We're gonna talk about basic stuff. But if you do basic right, that's what it is, right? You gotta learn your basic. It's like I haven't done kendo this year because I was traveling so much, but I took kendo, you know, the sword fight kendo for 2 years, and I'm blue belt now. The first year, only thing I've done, or my master tells me, oh, okay, we're going to do front cut for 3 months. You know what front cut is? 3 months. Can we move on? You know, like, you know, like, so, okay, 100 times, like, okay, I'm doing it, right? He's standing next to me, no. You're not cutting, you're hitting. I'm like, well, how do you know? You know? How do you know, right? Well, that's hitting, right? This was cut. This was hit. Now I know, right? After 3 months, okay? But when you do basic right, then you get to move on, right? Relationally, same thing. We've got to get the basics right because, like I said already, the relationship is not complicated, you know. Pastor Sam already started out by saying God exists in community. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in that community, there's got to be a relationship. So relationship is pretty much the foundational block. So when you learn how to do relationship well, then you're going to succeed in pretty much every aspect of your life, right? And if you're not really dealing with certain aspect of relationship like me, I struggle many, many years with my relationship with my father. It's funny how one of our church members' mother passed away, and we had to do the funeral. And Jenny and I, we got there a little early, and the same Rose Hill, same place I buried my father 10 years ago. So we decided to visit. And right now, my wife and I are going through a certain major change in our lives that really challenged us to ask the question, who are we? You know, why do we live and why do we do the things we do? So in that relationship, I realized, wow, God is teaching me, honey, that my relationship with Father has not been right. So all this, there's a consequence. You know, my relationship with my own Father has a consequence with how I deal with my people, in my church, my ministry, my mission work, with my children, on and on and on. So when you are solid in your relationship and has the basic building blocks of what relationship is, then you're going to move on. You know, you're going to relate better to your boss, your people, your friends, your children, your spouse to be, you know, spouse now, whatever, you know, with God also. So what are these basic building blocks of relationship? That's what I'm going to talk about when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. It says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So I'll end with verse 26. This will become the basic building blocks of your relationship, the fruit of the Spirit. The word fruit, this is really interesting study. The fruit, the word is karpos. Karpos in Greek is fruit. It's the Greek strong word number is 2,590. Now, you know, of course, this is not for, you know, you really had to learn Greek. When I went to Fuller, I had to learn Greek, right? And then after going through really hell learning all this Greek, they come up with computerized Greek lexicon, and you just click, and now, you know, it's right there, right? So I'm really mad, but 1986, I remember learning Greek and learning how to parse and all that kind of stuff. But now it's just like double click, you know, and then it'll shoot out, right? So the word karpos actually stems from the base word Greek 726, means harpazo. The word karpos means fruit, right? But what does that mean, fruit, right? But it has a base word meaning karpazo. Harpazo. Harpazo actually means to take or to catch. Okay? And it is akin to the Greek word 142, which is iro, right? Oh, I'm saying, herioomai. Oh boy. Herioomai, right? It also means to choose. But it's similar to the word ero, which means the primary verb. So we start from primary verb and we work it all the way down. The word fruit, it has all these meanings combined. The arrow means primary to lift or take up, right? Take up, to choose, take for oneself, catch, right? And the word karpos means all that. And as I was meditating on that, what does that mean, Lord? You know, it's just like fruit, right? And also it's written in singular. It's not fruits of the Spirit. So every Sunday school, you know, I know that, you know, when we teach young people the fruits of the Spirit, and then we always have grapes, right? Love, joy, peace. You know, it's like grapes. And that would be wrong picture, actually. It should be like orange. It's just one, but there are nine components in it, right? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, you know, self-control, all that is in there. But it's one fruit. So it's not like, yeah, I got love, but, you know, I don't really have gentleness. No. It's not like that. You got it. You got it. But one aspect is more accentuated. You express it more. You're good at it, right? It doesn't mean you ain't got self-control. No, you got it. It's part of the package. It's the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? But some part will be expressed, some part that God is training, some part you're learning. So when we talk about fruit of the Spirit, it's something that God gives, but it almost, when you study the Greek word, it almost feels like there's a part that you play in it. it's not automatic. It's not like some, oh, you know, like, oh man, that guy, well, he's got it. He's from the Lord, and you know, he didn't have to do anything. He's just, he's always so gentle. He's so nice. He's so humble. You know, that kind of stuff. It doesn't work that way. You receive something, but you need to work at it, right? So that it becomes mature in you. The fruit of the Spirit is like that, you know. And I always, you know, tell my friends, you know, jokingly, I say, hey guys, I preach the greatest message on humility, you know. And they're like, okay. So this is learn stuff. You know, humility is not like, oh, some guys, oh, he was born humble. No, it's something that the fruit of the Spirit, and you need to master it. You need to grow at it. So there are 9 things, and we're going to go one at a time and see, you know, how you score, right? So do a little bit of fruit score, you know. You know, how am I doing in this area? Number one, he says love, right? Love. Agape. Actually, the word is agape, which is unconditional love, God's love. And the second is joy, which means cheerfulness, delight, right? So love, joy. And then the third is peace, shalom, right, in Hebrew. But irene in Greek. Patience. King James calls it long-suffering, right? Patience. Long-suffering. And then kindness. King James calls it gentleness. And then goodness, right? And then faithfulness. Actually, the word faithfulness means faith and fidelity combined. Faith and fidelity, faithfulness. And then gentleness, King James calls it meekness or humility, right? And then self-control. King James calls it temperance. So these are 9 fruits, okay? So kind of think about that and said, okay, which one really is expressed the most through me? Some of you, maybe, I got all 9, right? there are 1 or 2 that kind of defines you. Like Moses. What does Bible say about Moses? He was the most humble man. He's the meekest man of the humanity. I mean, God calls him the most. I mean, talk about humility, you know. That's how defined Moses. So each person, like each biblical character, is defined by certain things, right? Man of peace, right? Gentleness, wisdom, or whatever. Or wisdom's not there. But kindness, patience, peace, right? So you think about the gifting that God has given that is being expressed in certain way, relationally. Now, the reason that my wife is doing singles tomorrow and I'm doing couples is because I never lived single life. I proposed to my wife when I was 19 and married when I was 22. So I had no single life. I jumped from college to marriage. So I really like single life when people say, oh, I'm so lonely. I want to be lonely, you know? It's like, when I became father at 23, I'm like, oh my God. Like, all my friends are going to movies. I'm like, oh, I'm stuck with this kid, you know? So, I don't understand single life. So my wife is going to teach on that, right? So when I talk about relationship, I had to learn really hard way. I mean, Jenny and Jenny has been doing inner healing for many years. And I got curious. I said, honey, why do you do inner healing? She said, well, because you hurt me so much. You know, I had to heal myself. And so after 25 years of marriage, really, we really learn everything hard way, right? And so the stuff that I'm sharing is not from the books. I mean, I read about 3-4 books for this conference and just want to just sharpen and get some more insight. But I learned through books, but mostly the insight is from my real life, you know, something that we went through. You know, when I was 19, and this is something I'll open up actually with this wonderful testimony too. And Jenny will tell you her version tomorrow, but this is my version, authorized version, right? So I got born again in 1979. I was 18. And then, you know, went to school and I start dating this girl and she's from Hawaii. And, you know, we used to write songs together and things like that. Just really wonderful sister. But 1 year of relationship, and then I was in at home enjoying my summer and she went back to Hawaii. I was doing my quiet time and Lord said, why are you messing with her? You know, do you think she'll make a great pastor's wife? I said, no, Lord, you know. No, there's, I mean, she's fantastic, but there are areas in her life that will really prevent her from becoming the kind of a public person and all that. And Lord said, then why are you messing with someone else's wife? You know, didn't you make commitment to follow me and do the things? There are things that you need to do, that you need, you know. Why are you finding someone that is not going to become a partner in that journey? Wow, you know, I really never saw it that way. You know, of course, I'm 19, right? Or 18, right? So, but one thing I did, I think that I think God really used me for, and that is obedience. I don't really think or try to figure out. When God says something, I jump. I mean, I'm like the guy jump and try to see if I have a parachute on, you know, like, do I have it, you know? God told me to jump, so I jump. So that morning, I called my friend in Hawaii, and I called up the relationship. I said, it's not going to work. You know, I'm sorry, I cannot explain. It's not going to work. So for a whole year afterwards, in my sophomore year, I was crying out to God. I said, God, show me who I need to marry, right? God, I'm already 18, you know? It's like, so I got desperate, man, like, it's a whole year and I turned 19. And then I was walking down the street, it's Telegraph Boulevard, you know, famous for hippie movement and all that, and 11 p.m., Lord comes to me and says, it's Jenny, just like that. Wow, that was powerful, right? Jenny, you know? Jenny, for what? That's your spouse. That's your wife, right? I heard it so clearly. And of course, you know, we did Bible studies together and all that. And of course, I liked her, you know. But, you know, it was so clear that God showed and said, it's Jenny. I remember, I said, whoa, you know, I turn around. And middle of the night, I went to her apartment, knocked on her door, and she came out. I said, Jenny, sit down, you know. I said, this is authorized version. She'll tell you her version. Don't listen to her. Okay, this is. I said, you know, God spoke, you know, and I think we need to get married, you know. So can you decide? I'll give you 24 hours. You know? So something like that. Okay, it's kind of blur, but I mean something like that. And she tells me otherwise. But I mean, so I remember proposing, not really proposing, and. That was it. And she said, yes, you know. So I'm like, whoa, okay, you know, that's nice, you know. So when I graduated from college 2 years later, or 1 year later, 20 days after my graduation, actually, we got married, January 21st, 1984. That's it, you know. And then, of course, you know, we had children, and thus far we came, you know. But we had to learn a relationship. It was very, very difficult. You know, because I'm the last of the fifth child. I'm the last child of five children. You know, very self-centered. You know, last child, man, we rule, right? Last child, we rule, right? But we're very self-focused. You know, and she being the first child of five children. You know, and there's the gender difference, that social, psychological, emotional, spiritual difference, and it was just like we had to learn. You know, we had to. So tomorrow at Couples, I'm going to teach you how to fight fair and all that kind of stuff. Right? So it'll be good, you know. But this basic blocks of the Spirit, when I read about the fruit of the Spirit, I wish someone taught me that these are the things, the very thing that is necessary, right, to play this game well called relationship. I mean, if we call that game, you know. I mean, there are components. There are rules of engagement. In relationship, there are things that you should never go beyond, or you know, and you know, the fruit of the Spirit defines that for us, you know, the fruit of the Spirit says that, well, now that let us not become conceited, provoking and envying. Just those two things, provoking and envying. Do not compete. Do not compare. That's what it means. In relationship, when you start competing and comparing, the relationship will be broken. You know, Pastor Sam really is a promoter, and I'm going to actually talk about that. And so when we talk about love language, we're going to talk about that, but there are the strong gifts that people have, okay? And you need to build on that through relationally, and then God's going to take you to different places, okay? So the fruit of the Spirit is just simple nine fruits, but kind of think about that, you know, and, along this weekend. You know, Lord, how did you wire me? You know, how do I really express myself? How do I express my love? You know, and things like that. There are different levels. Now, this is coming from the books that I read. There are five levels of communication, five levels, okay? And there's a gender difference when it comes to communication level. Number one is cliche, right? Cliche is there's absolutely no communication. It's just talking. You know, like a bunch of guys, I love to go to a gym, and all these guys, you know, like, hey, what's up, George? You know, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I mean, they talk for 10 minutes, you know, but they really don't know each other. You know, it's like guys like to keep you shallow, and, you know, it's like, hey, you know, how are you doing? I'm fine. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm thinking about committing suicide next hour, but like, I'm fine, man. Yeah, you know. Like, yeah, pumping iron, yeah, you know. It's like nothing goes right, but it's just like, that's called cliche, right? That's the first level of communication. Just small talk. And that's okay, you know, we need small talk, right? And we need to be pleasant, you know. So that's first level, though. You don't want to stay there, right? The second is reporting, just facts, you know. Like, oh, well, yeah, what happened? What happened today, right? Facts. Like, I come home, like, what happened, you know? I'm like, you want the long version or short version, right? It's like, okay, short. It was very good. You know? The long, it was very, very good. You know, it's like, so, you know, guys, that's pretty much the first, second, that's the guys. We live in that world, and we're happy, right? Until Eve was created, we're like happy. It's like talking to animals, like, how are you doing? You know, it's like, eating grass okay? You know, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah. Today's wet grass today. Oh, you know. Okay, wet grass, you know. Go to dry grass, you know. And that was our level, right? And then third level, actually, and then because I'm mature now, you know, I'm at that level, you know. You know, most guys, when you reach this level, you're doing pretty good, right? The third level is my ideas and judgment. Well, what do I think about that? Well, these are the facts, okay? Well, you share with me that you went through this, you know. But what do you think? Why do you think this happened? You know, the thinking, at least you're sharing your thought to someone, right? And that's pretty much where guys will kind of, you know, settle. If you reach there, then you're good, right? Right? But fourth level is the feeling, right? It's the, well, now we're entering into like, oh, you know, it's like, honey, I think this is what happened. Well, how do you feel about that? I should feel about it? You know, it's like, what do you mean? That's what happened. That's what I think. You know, it's like, but what do you feel about that? It's like, I don't feel. You know, it's like, it's funny. You know, we're coming out of one of these massive meetings, you know, and I think it was like 10,000 people, right? And guys get really excited about that. Just the other day, right before I came here, I was at a conference and I was preaching. 1,200 people were there. I opened up for Mike Bickle, you know, and I did a mission testimony. It was wonderful, and Mike Bickle came and did a wonderful, and then we did pray for everyone. And so I come home like, how was it? Oh, it was great, you know, like, why was it great? Well, there were 1,200 people. Facts, you see. It's like, whoa. So how was it? It was great, you know. How great was it? You know, I did this thing and everybody came and said, oh, that was wonderful, right? No thinking involved. It's just facts, you know. You know. So then she said, oh, so what happened? You know, I said, yeah, I think, you know, this happened, right? But what do you feel about that? You know, is that what I mean? One time, we're coming out of the meeting, and I said, Jenny, what do you think about my message? She said, You missed the heart of God today. What? You know? Because she felt it, you see? But it's like, really? I missed the heart of God? That's harsh, you know? She's talking feeling language now. But we don't, you know, we're not there most of the time, right? So guys, and, you know, really, that's why even before marriage, ladies, you really have to learn to communicate and understand. That's most guys are, right? And so don't get disappointed, you know. They did this called sandbox study. You know, when children are young, they do sandbox study, you know. So actually, PhD theses are written. They observe gender difference between boys and girls playing in the sandbox. By the time they reach like 4 or 5, guess what? Girls is 100% verbal, meaning that they talk and they communicate. You know, like 4 or 5, what do you think? You know, and they're like, like they talk. I mean, it's like, guess what? Guys is 60% vocabulary, 40% sound effect. Pow! You know, like, okay? And it continues. We're doing a whole sandbox experiment right now. And so for ladies to expect guys to communicate, it's like, what do you mean by that? You know? It's like, she does, you know? We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. Like, we don't have vocabularies, right? To express that, right? That's why guys, when they get together, they play ball. You know, they play basketball. Or they do something, right? Because that's how they communicate, you know? Do things together, you know? Ladies, they want to talk, right? They process through talking, right? And they process, because they're processing through their talking, they're going to start saying a lot of stuff. It's not in conclusion, but they will say it, you know? Because they're processing, you know? You know, they will say things like, you know, I feel my husband is acting like a loser. She's not saying that I'm a loser. She's saying he's acting like a loser. Now she's opening up and she wants to process by talking. But guys, because their communication skill is not really there, they start caving. When something happens, they cave in. They go into cave. And they try to process, thinking, you know, like, why did she say that? You know? How come she thinks I'm a loser, you know? And see, this is different way of communicating, right? She wants to talk, right? But I'm like, oh, you know, just say, you know? Just say the conclusion, you know? But it doesn't work that way. So because they're in the process, right? Now the feeling stage, the fourth level, emotional level, you know, what do you feel? But the highest level is called what John Powell says is the peak communication, where it's the highest level where you communicate through your being. You know, after married with my wife for now in January 25 years, we reached that point where we know. You know, I walk in and then I know, you know, whoa, something's not right, you know. She doesn't have to say anything. You know, it's like, I know, you know. So that's a pretty good place, you know. When you live with someone and you communicate, you went through all these stages over and over again, and so you now reach that point where, yeah, it's at a level where out of being, out of who you are, you're communicating, not what you so much what you say, right? So it's important, you know, that you communicate that. Example like that. I got so many examples like that. But my wife could speak to me without saying a word, right? Most women do, you know. But so they could be, you know, silence could be so loud, right? So one time, I ride motorcycle. I don't have a car. I have a huge motorcycle. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a rider, right? So I've been riding since 15, and I almost killed myself at age 19. At age 19, I was like, you know, put the front wheel up and was making right turn. Stupid thing, you know, you don't want to do that. Did you know that in psychology they found out in the man's brain, until they hit 23, the sensory that warn us about death is not formed yet. No, the truth. Yeah. That's why the insurance is so high until you hit 24. At age 23, something happens. They realize, man, I could die doing this. You know? That's why all the extreme sports, you know, these guys like flip over and whatever, you know, they do when they're young, right? Especially guys. So that's 23 is the magic number. So when I was 19, death was not an option for me, you know. So I did all this crazy stunt, and you know, first bike I got, I burned the engine because I was riding it so hard, you know, in the sand, you know. And me and my brother, he's another crazy guy. Between him, we wrecked six cars. We totaled six cars within 4 years, you know. So my father disowned us, like, you're not my sons anymore, you know. No more insurance for you punks, you know. And so we're on our own, right? So it was a very crazy time. So we did a lot of crazy stuff. And finally, you know, at age 19, I almost killed myself. And I said, I'm never going to touch this, you know, until I turn 40. I don't know why I said 40. But I said, until 40, I'm not going to touch bike. But when I turned 40, 7 years ago, I bought the biggest bike I could find, put in the garage, and my wife came home like, ah, you know, what is this? You know, you got to keep promise with God, you know, and so. Yeah, my theology is rock solid, right? So I've been riding bikes since, and, you know, when you ride in Southern California, beautiful, man, it's gorgeous. Summer like this, warm, and I had several sites in my church. We planted five churches, so I would preach in one church and then ride my motorcycle out and preach in L.A. and coming home like 3, 4 in the afternoon, Southern California, summer, gorgeous. And I'm just riding, and full helmet on, and nobody think I'm pastor, you know, but I got a huge cruiser on, you know, 1,300cc bike, right? So it goes pretty fast. And sports car, like Porsche would come, you know, like, these young guys, they want to race. Beep, beep, want to race, you know. I'm like, no, man, you're sitting on a big metal box. Go, you know, don't hurt yourself, right? Because the whole thing about speed is mass equal acceleration, right? And mass, and I'm just sitting on top of 1,300 engine, you know. There's no mass to speak of. So we could accelerate like crazy, right? We could go from 0 to 60 or almost 100 kilo in 4.5 seconds, 4.7, right? So we could go from 70 miles to 110 in like 2-3 seconds, you know. You're in Porsche, you cannot really, you know, because you're heavy, right? So, you know, I always send them, and one time, one afternoon, I'm riding, happy. I see a dark spot coming, chasing me down. And it was a Ferrari, right? Wow, a brand new Ferrari. And I just was flipping through some magazine. It's that model, like the basic stock price was $250,000, right? I'm like, wow, that's a nice one. And the guy was looking at me like, want to go for it? And like, yeah, you know, for Ferrari, you know. And so we're just, you know, and I couldn't believe he was chasing me down. I was impressed, right? I was like, wow, this guy is really Ferrari, right? Yeah. And then finally, but legally, motorcycle go between cars. We could go between cars. It's called lane sharing, right? But I don't care if you're sitting in a million-dollar car. You cannot go between cars. So I came home so excited. I said, honey, I beat Ferrari today, right? She didn't have to speak one word. She looked at me like, and she walked away. Like, and I was standing there, why is she so mad, right? I realized, because that was the most stupidest thing. That's like the stupidest thing I've done in my entire life, right? I mean, like, wow, you know, race Ferrari, right? But I mean, if you go that fast, you know, in freeway, you know, in a bike, and when you hit a little pot or hit a rock, or you're dead, right? You know, we don't go to hospital. We just go directly to tombstone, right? It's like, yeah. That's why our insurance is so cheap, right? It's like, so think about it, you know? Can you imagine my children riding, my father beat Ferrari and died, you know? It's like, it was clearly communicated to me without a single word spoken. That was the foolish thing I ever seen my husband do, right? So that's the highest level of communication, right? So out of the being. But it doesn't matter which level that you're in, but you have to master it. You gotta be good at it, okay? Because guys also, you know, you need to learn. Because there will come a time that you need to master. You know, just like I was the other day talking talking to my kids. You know, some of you are like, oh, he has adopted kids. Well, last year, my wife's, one of her best friend passed away. And they were living with stepfather, and stepfather didn't have what it takes to be a father, you know, and a lot of issues. And so mother actually basically said, would you take care of my kids? So sure, you know, there are 23, 21, two boys, Paul and Dan, Dan and Paul, 23 and 21. And so they came over and they're now living with us. So it's not a legal adoption. They just live with us. And we've been taking care of them ever since they were young anyway. So it's great, right? So we got, now I got five kids, you know, and they're at each level is different, you know. Beginning of the year, we'll always have a meeting. And we talk about this year, what role do you think I need to play for you? You know, because each year they change. My first daughter finished her one-year term in mission, 6 months in Cambodia and 6 months in Indonesia, 3 months in, two months in Indonesia, 3 months in Hawaii. So she's now a freshman at Fuller Theological Seminary. She's 23, and she's first year at Fuller. Now, the way I communicate with her has to be different. You know, the same stuff that I used when she was 18 is not going to work. She's 23, right? So now I'm more real with her. I'm like, girl, get married. You know, it's like, let your husband pay for your grad school, girl. You know? It's like, one of my life goals is to become grandfather before I turn 50. So make it happen. You know, it's like 3 years, you know. So, but, you know, I mean, but we communicate, you know, at different level. My son, who's third year in college, also is going through his life decision, you know, what I need to do. So the role that I play is more of mentor, you know. For my first daughter, more like coach, you know. It's like, okay, this is what you want to do. But my last child, she's 12th grade, she's going to college. So I asked her, what role do I need to play for you this year? She said, can you be a just cheerleader? You know, can you just cheer me, you know? Because there are things, you know, and, you know. So I said, sure, you know. So every level is different. Dan, you know, he wants to go to nursing school. And I remember emailing him because he was going through some life crisis, like, you know, which school to go to. And he emails me. I was in Cambodia. So the way I speak to him is different. Paul, who wanted to be a guitar musician, but now he wants to be electronic engineer, you know, so he's going flip-flopping about his major. And so he's 21, you know, and he's a phenomenal guitar player. So you know, the way I talk to him is different. You know, when I take them out and when I have this one-on-one date, the things I do is different. You know, like Paul, I would go go-karting with him and just talk, you know, just casually. Dan, more formal because he's a formal guy, you know, and it's more, you know. So the way I talk to him is different. So when we master this communication skill, then you know what to apply and how to apply and things like that, right? Amen? It's very important, guys, so that you become good at this communication skill so that, and on top of that, all this fruit of the Spirit is going to start coming to play. Now, there are five levels of communication, but there are seven love dialect, what I call. Actually, there was a famous book that was out called Five Languages of Love or something. Love language, right? Five love languages. I always take a book and take it apart and make it mine. And so I came up with seven dialect. Because, you know, when I was reading his book, it's a great book, but I think he missed a major point. And the major point is this. It's not language. Because he doesn't come from I had to learn a lot of languages, right? I learned Spanish. Everybody learns Spanish in Southern Cal, right? It's 43% Spanish-speaking world, you know, we're living in. So I had to learn Spanish in high school. I went to college and I had to take Greek, you know, classical Greek, because I was philosophy major. And then I want to read Kant in German, so I took German. And then I want to actually go to Japan when I retire, so I took Japanese. So I took a lot of languages. And so each language is different, you know. Just like because I learned five languages, oh, that's great, so I go to Cambodia now, my language will help me to speak. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to learn a whole different language. So I think when I was reading the book, I'm like, when he used the term language, he did not really clearly define that. Because love, we know love. And love does not have five languages. love is different dialect. You kind of communicate, you know. It's just that you don't really get it, you know. You know, so I think, you know, if he writes that book again, he should call it dialect, you know. So, but since he did 5, I'm doing 7 dialects. So I'm going to publish before anybody else, right? 7 dialects of love. It's like going to deep south, you know. I went through America, 8,200 miles. That's 13,000 kilometers in 30 days in solo motorcycle tour last year. Great, you know. And then we had a TV crew doing documentaries. And I went to deep south. Kid you not, this guy was talking to me. I knew he was friendly because he was all smiling. You know, he was saying something. It's like, yeah, that's English, you know, but I think I get it, you know, but I don't know what he's saying, you know. Especially deep south, man, I'm talking about Alabama, you know, and like, wow, you know. So it's like that, you know, love has this different dialect, right? Well, there are 7. Number one, there's a touch. You know, there are very, and it's culture to culture different, right? Culture to culture different, you know. There's like no touching culture, and other culture is very touchy, like Italians, they are very touchy-feely, you know, they're like, you know, whereas Germans, like, okay, stay away, you know, it's like, state your statement, yeah, say what you mean, you know, that kind of precise, that kind of stuff. So it's different, but the whole touching could be a love language. Now, in terms of genders, guy likes more sexual touch. Because this is how we are wired, right? We're going to talk about that in a couple's thing about the whole sex issue, and it will be very beneficial. And singles also, but yeah, the way we perceive that is different. Whereas women's were more romantic touch, you know, non-sexual touch. So the way that we communicate, and we need to define that and clarify in our relationship, otherwise it's going to get all backfire, misfire, and miscommunication, even in our touch. So touching is definitely one dialect in which that we express our love. The second way is verbal, of course. This is where ladies are good at, right? And compliments and encouragements and things like that. So the words that we use and the choice of words we use and you know, things like that. Third, people express their love by service, expressed by helping, right? And so this is good. Team, like 2,000 people came to Jeju Island. I was one of the keynote speakers, you know, and Youngji Cho had spoken 45 minutes in the conference. They gave me 3 hours nonstop, man. I'm like, wow, this is a great honor. And I was so thrilled. I was so excited. I prayed up and preached the message, and I got the CD. I'm so excited. I gave it to my mom. She listened to the whole thing. Only one comment. She said, you know, your voice gets loud when you get excited. That's it. Like, oh man. That really, you know, like, because our family do not really verbally, you know, verbal is not our love dialect, right? So I struggle with my wife because, you know, here I am trying to tell her I love her by doing all this, you know, service, you know, make her coffee in the morning, you know, whatever, you know, and all that. And she really doesn't really take it seriously because that's not her dialect. She kind of gets it, like, yeah, I think she said, I love you, but it's in, you know, with southern accent, you know. So it's like, doesn't really get it, you know, get the general mood, right? So you have to discover that, you know, what is your love dialect, right? So that you speak the language with your partner. And the other one is, fourth one is provider. This is good, you know, Jehovah Jireh, you know, like, man, like, yeah, you know, I provide, right? Especially in a country where it's developing, especially like Cambodia, when guy, man, gives security woman, that's his way of saying I love you, right? And when he does that well, he feels like he's accomplished everything, right? He could. So, you know, it's so funny how I go to restaurants in Cambodia, and you see this guy, you know, guys, average guys makes like $2 a day, right? And pho is like 95 cents, $1.20. So if anybody who walks into that restaurant and eat a meal with the family, is really well to do. You know, these are not, this is above average, right? Because 85% of them make $1 a day. So the people who come to restaurant are pretty well to do. So we're eating breakfast and this guy comes with wife and a daughter and you could tell he's reading newspaper. He's kind of detached, you know? Every time I see someone like that, man, I just want to go beat him up, like, spend time with your wife, you know? Talk to her. This is the prime time, right? No, he's like, why? Because he thinks I'm provider. And that's how it's my love language. the way I express my love to my family is I provide. See? Well, if the woman feels same, then that's okay. You know, the woman feels like, I feel so loved. My husband provides for me. Yeah, you could read newspaper all you want in the mealtime. You know, I don't care. But most of the time, it's not true. You know, most of the time, it's verbal, especially woman, right? So the love language is, dialogue is very important. How you communicate, right? Provider, right? It's kind of man thing. Now, the five is gift-giving, okay? The woman, thank the Lord, my wife, this is not one of our dialect, you know? Thank God, you know? Because she really doesn't care, you know? Now she's developing a little bit, I'm getting concerned, you know, so praying hard against it right now. But some woman, that means I love, you know, it's like the biggest diamond you could find. It means that I love you, you know? You know what I mean? So for some women are wired that way. And guys, if you are dating someone like that, yeah, work hard, right? So, gift giving. Now, unfortunately, it's my love dialect, you know? And so when someone gives me a gift, like, oh, wow, this, you know, because I always say love not expressed is not love at, you know, yet, you know, not love yet. So, because I came from, because in our family, although we didn't really compliment each other, we always celebrate birthdays and things like that, right? Gift giving is part of, you know, because I was dying, you know, no expression of love verbally. At least once a year I get gift, you know, birthday gift, you know, and that's, I'm still, you know, loving part of the family, you know, because I received a gift. So that was the kind of the dialect that I developed, right? So I try to give gift and things like that, but to my wife, that wasn't really important. To her, it was more verbal. Affirmation, you know, that you're good, you know, you're doing well, blah, blah, blah. That was her love dialect, right? So if that's your spouse, and you pretty much everybody, and you know, all your children are different. All your children are different. My Elisa, my goodness, she's just like me, you know? So actually, when she got out of college, I took a tour of Korea with her, like 3-4 days. We just did a train tour. You know, and we're in the same link, you know, so we don't really say much, and she's not very verbal in that way. So we'll be reading, you know, each other's book, you know, I mean, we're reading books, you know, and it's just separate, and then we look at each other. At one time, we're going to Busan, and it's a long journey, and we're reading books, having a good time, you know, for some reason, we stop reading, and then we look at each other, and Elisa said, Dad, I know what you're thinking, you know. I'm like, whoa, you know, it's like, I know what you're thinking too. Why? Because we're communicating, right? And the way that she really appreciates, actually she really appreciates the fact that I provide for her, you know? And that's one of the major thing, that I am her provider, you know, that, and that's how she's wired. So I try to make sure that she's provided for with her education, with her life, you know, things, you know, and like, so the way we express should be, by what people really need, right? So fifth is gift giving. Sixth is promoter. That's what I said about your pastor. Opportunity enthusiast. He likes to see others thrive and do well. And, you know, and that's great. That's a great love dialect, right? It's more like Barnabas, right? Barnabas did that. And to, like, Mark and things like that. So that's a good trait. And that's something that, you know, like, some mothers, like, sign up their kid, you know, like, okay, you're going to go taekwondo, piano, tap dance Wednesday afternoon. You know, it's like, I want to give opportunity to kids. You know, it's like, wow, you know. That's their way of expressing love, right? And I know some of you suffer under that because that was not your language, you know, or here. That's not how you perceive love. But so everybody's different. So when as I get older, I realize, you know, and I finally accept it. Wow, you know, my dad, the way he expresses love to me, you know, although he never said, I love you, you know, it's really unfortunate that, you know, guys, it is really unfortunate. I don't care if it's Asian culture or whatever, you know, but it's so sad for us to be a son and to never hear your dad say, I love you, son, you know. But that was just him, you know, he just was never able to say it, you know. Nor touch, he never hugged me, you know. It's just not Asian thing, I guess, you know. So no touch, no verbal, you know, but the way he expressed his love for me is different. Right? And I finally begin to understand that, you know, he tried hard to provide, you know, he tried hard to, and it takes maturity and really doing it yourself and failing, you know, many times and realize, wow, I miserably fail in this area too, you know, and when I talk to my kids, and especially, see, my son is just like my wife. Elisa is just like me. So when I travel with Elisa, it's really no big deal because just I do whatever I need to do, you know. And she come along and fine because that's what she's doing. She's doing whatever she needs to do. And we don't really, you know, we just mesh well. With my son, it's different. You know, he's more personal. He wants to talk and he wants to relate. And, you know, and the journey well taken to him is not the exciting things we've done together, but the time that we spend talking. Okay? I found out, you know, because I took him to Europe right after he graduated from high school. You know, when he went to start going high school, you know, I said, son, you know, I could buy your, like, regular beat-up Honda for $3,000-$4,000, but if you drive this, which was like $1,400, it's like 20-year-old car, it's like 240,000 miles on it, it's almost 250,000 miles. I said, if you could ride that for your entire high school career, when high school's over, you know, I'm going to take you through Europe. He said, which one do you choose? Oh, I take junkie car and Europe trip, right? Okay. So we did that, and when he graduated, I sold the car for $1,500, you know, and with that money, we went Europe, right? So it was great. We backpacked across like 5 countries in 2 weeks or something. It was really a blast, you know. But till, and then I figured it out. See, the reason that I had a hard time connecting with him, because I was using different dialect, you know. Because I thought it was like just a guy, you know, like, okay, let's do things together, you know. I took him to surfing, you know, lessons at his 18th birthday, surfing together. I'm thinking like, we'll build, you know, male bonding, whatever. He said, I hate this. Man, this is the most difficult sport, right? He quits. I love it. I continue, right? I'm not good at it. You know, I'm going to suck at, you know. But, you know, it's just like, and then I realized that Europe trip that, wow, he really enjoys talking to me. I mean, it's like, wow, this is great, you know. So a lot of times we'll be in coffee shop just talking, you know, processing, you know. And it's, you, with him, you have to always throw open-ended question. Because he's processing. He's a processor, just like my wife, you know. And don't ever say, like, oh, okay, then you should go this way, you know. Or don't make a conclusion for him because he's processing, you know. So I'm understanding, you know. And so you have to be sharp about, you know, the primary relationship that you are with, you know, what is it? My mom, it's my mom's primary gift is still gift, you know. So you know, I'm extravagant when it comes to and in very intimate stuff that only son will know. Like for example, case in point, you know, she now lives in this. We lived with her for 13 years of our first 13 years of our marriage, but she moved on to this, you know, ladies, old people, you know, what do you call it, elderly homes. And this, you know, senior apartment, and she's like so busy with, she has appointments Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, like all her, you know, friends and whatever. And so, and she now has to go to laundry, coin laundry in the complex, you know, and she complained to me, son, you know, I spend like $5 every time I do a couple laundries, blah, 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 and I run out of quarters. So one day I got this huge box, I think it was Box Shape of Love or something like that, and I went to bank and got $250 in quarters. Just mountain full of quarters, you know. I gave it to her. That's great, right? And, like, she loved it, and it's a conversational piece, so she always bring all her friends, like, this is my son. Now, with that, the first time is okay, but then she calls and said, it's running low now. Now you gotta fill it, you know. You got gave her the box. Now you gotta fill it. I don't mind. You know, this is great. So I collect all the quarters, and just the other day, you know, we had a whole bunch of quarters and filled it, and she's happy. Why? Because now she feels love, and in her way of it's gift, you know. And it's not so verbal, you know, but it's gift, you know. It's express her love, right? So you gotta know what dialect that the people are speaking, right? So promotion is one of seventh, time giver. These are, in 21st century, time is most valuable commodity. You know, you can make more money, but you can never make more time, right? So, but people who really willingly give time, that's love expression. Yeah, I'm very shrewd with my time, really. I'm just like, whoa, you know, yeah, I'll give you money, but not, yeah, you know. Because really, I really I'm stingy about time, and so I need to change, you know, especially with my children, with my wife. You know, last year, I was gone 230 days traveling. And that's a lot, you know. My daughter says, Dad, when people call me and ask where you are, I have to look up your website, you know. It's like, my dad is in Siberia this week, you know. So when I come home, I really have to fight myself to give my kids time, you know, and that's my way of express my love. I have to fight myself to give my wife time, you know, and that's why we're traveling together. This is great, you know, we're traveling together, things like that, and also happy. But time, giving time is probably, in some people, like my son, he really doesn't care, you know. He likes to spend time with me. So I have to know that, you know, I have to plan, you know, for that. So there are seven love dialect, and one is touch, verbal, service, providing, gift-giving, promotion, and time-giving. So those are the seven things that you kind of have to work at. And then you have to find out what is your, you know, what is your dialect? You know, what language do you speak? You know, and build on that. And don't deny that. You know, and because it's not right or wrong. You know, it's not. It's like one is better than the other. It's just that God wired you that way, right? So it's funny how we have a lot of friends and whatever, and some people just love to provide for us. You know, just give things, and some people just give gifts. You know, and they're not really into providing the necessary stuff. They're into giving the desires of our heart. You know what I mean? So, or they want to spend time, and they just come over, and some people just like compliments, and some people really do things for our children. So everybody's different, and in that incredible mosaic of relationship, you know, you have this incredible community. So in here also, same thing. You know, they're all different. Dialects are being spoken, so you gotta kind of pick, realize, oh, that's what he's doing, or that's what she's doing, you know, and do not judge, you know, and don't say, oh, that's wrong, or you know, you're selfish, or because it's all different, you know, and actually, with single group like this, I always tell them, which my wife would cover tomorrow, but in single life, and something that I've noticed is that, especially young people today, I'm talking about marriageable age. But it's not marrying, you know. Guys, I said kind of jokingly today over lunch, I said, you know, maybe end of the conference, I'll pick numbers, you know, give you numbers and match. Like, it's like, okay, just let's do it, right? It's like, because the thing is this, if you're really in spirit, and you have this nine fruit of the spirit working in you, right, and you got this basic communication skill down, really, the issue is that because you don't have it, and that's why you run into problem relationally, right? When you have the spiritual aspect of relationship that you are being cultivating, developed in the spiritual gifting, the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting, and then you begin to learn to communicate, then even if you just, if you just match you by number, you do well. Have a wonderful marriage. Have raised a lot of kids and love Jesus, and you know, until Jesus comes back, right? If you don't have that, it doesn't matter if you like, she's like the one, you know, like, or he's the one, whatever. Yeah, you're gonna go through hell, you know, because of all this. And we're still going through that, you know, we're going to next level, you know, we're communicating. Jenny, we talk about this, and she says, can we go to the next level? I'm like, you know, like, I'm happy at this level, okay? Like, we're doing well. This is great, you know? And I said, no, I feel like we could go next level, you know? And, you know, she's been saying that for 25 years. I don't know what level we're in right now, but, you know, it's for sure, it's higher than where we had 2 years ago, you know? But we're progressing, we're moving. So, you know, the progression is, of course, is mandated. But doing the basic, just like knowing that and understanding that, right? And then live and then really make a commitment, and then because you know I really do believe God is going to the reason that you guys in Hong Kong, I know a lot of you are coming from all over the world, you know, here, and there's a reason why you are here, right? The reason why I was in Berkeley 1980 and met my wife and married, you know, and it's just, yeah, God will bring certain people, certain time, for a reason. And then out of that, you know, open your eyes and really pray. You know, ask the Lord, you know. And don't ever pray. Oh, this is another warning. Don't ever pray. Lord, I'm willing to marry anybody but him or but her. Usually that's the one that God's going to. Yeah. So, you know, don't ever pray that, right? Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, just say, Lord, I'm open, you know. Yeah. So in this relationship, we're gonna build on it. We're gonna go more. We're gonna go deep. Tomorrow morning, we're gonna do inner healing. I think that will really help you because I went through my first inner healing session because my wife got into it, and she started doing it, and then she said, you know, you really need to do it. And then I really did it. That really helped me to overcome a lot of my baggages. You know? And it is so freeing to be free. You know, it's just, I don't know how to describe. It's so wonderful to not have baggage that, you know, like defines you or make you. And you do things that you don't like to do. I'm like, why am I doing this way, right? And then because you have baggage. You know, you have these issues, you know, and so inner healing should be a very important one tomorrow. And once we deal with that, then we're going to go into different group. And married couple, we're going to really talk about marriage issue, and Jenny is going to talk about the single issue. And then tomorrow night, we're going to come together and try to wrap it up. Sunday, we're going to continue. And I really pray that you learn a biblical principle, and that you'll be reminded of the things you already know, and the stuff that you read in the books already. But finally, the commitment. Like, yeah, you know, I really need to commit. I'm not saying that you need to marry next week. I'm just saying that you need to commit to a relationship. It's different, right? It's just that I jumped in when I was young. And I, you know, the thing is, when I was young, no, really, this is when I was 18 years old, I knew that I'm going to just do crazy stuff, you know, because, you know, my goal was to, you know, I look like a pastor now with, you know, Kangol look-alike head and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's from Walmart. I lost my Kangol head and it's expensive, so I went to Walmart and bought it. Anyways, you know, I was 18. I was philosophy major, had hair this long, and I was, you know, and it just, but I knew that early on that if I don't settle down and marry someone, you know, that I'm going to go crazy. You know, I'm going to make a lot of stupid mistakes, you know. And I think, you know, now that my daughter's 23 and we kind of joke about it, and she said, Dad, you know, because when we were traveling together, everybody said, oh, is this your wife? You know, and, like, and she said, I'm never going to travel with you again, Dad. You know, you know. But because we're like almost like a friend, you know, and we just talk deeply. And I remember talking to her. I said, honey, I'm so glad, you know, I married young and I had you when you're young. And I'm so glad. The one thing that I obey God that I'll never regret is when God told me to marry Jenny. You know, and man, you know, that really changed my life. And so you need to commit to a relationship, you know, and say, Lord, if you give somebody, I'm going to commit, you know, I'm going to see through and relationally, and you know, I'm going to make sure that it is a successful marriage and all that. But without the commitment, because when you have fear about commitment, when you're like, I don't know, you know, and when you're looking for that, you know, the perfection, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not in perfection now. It is about coming together and making it, perfecting, you know, your relationship as to become one. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we've shared much and a lot of information. But Lord, would you turn that information into inspiration? Speak deeply, Lord. And some of us maybe have issue with that, and that's affecting my relationship with others. Maybe, Lord, some people have relationship issue with mom, and that's affecting their relationship with you. So, Holy Spirit, would you inspire the information I share so that each one will take home, Lord, what they need. And Father, I pray that there will be not only inspiration, but it will become instruction where they know what to do, the next step, and next phase and next stage of their relationship. Father, remind them, show them faces, give them names. They need to right the wrong relationship and someone to forgive and someone to let go and someone who's being haunted by the past. Father, I pray that you'll be set free tonight. Father, I pray more than instruction, Lord, above and beyond. God, I pray for impartation of your Holy Spirit, the gifts, Lord. Father, so that, because we don't have strength, Lord, we don't have what it takes. We don't know how to make it right, Lord. And I don't want some people here to feel even more burdened because they don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, would you come and impart to them your spirit, your anointing, Father, so that they, it is not them, but it is you working through them. There's that responsibility, Lord, as even the fruit of the Spirit that we need to take. We need to be responsible for. So Holy Spirit, come. Touch us, Lord. Father, minister to us. Can I have an organist or somebody just minister for a few minutes? I just want to take us into prayer. Because, you know, a lot of times we have some issues with certain people. And because we don't resolve that, that is going to affect my relationship with all these other relationships. A lot of times it's forgiveness issue. So there's something that you need to deal with and just make it right. You know, this whole relational conference, we're going to talk about that over and over again. But as we open up, let's just spend some time in prayer. If repentance is due, hey, let's just go to God. And if forgiveness is due, let's go to God and forgive. And if it's just that really, that commitment, because you're just too afraid to make commitment, let's even give that to God and say, Lord, I'm willing, I'm ready. Show me, guide me. Would you do that? Let's spend some 2-3 minutes. Let's just interceding and praying together. Let's pray. If you never had a father figure teaching about relationship and in a way become like a coach or even one who just recognize and bless, and if you did not have someone in your life as a representative of your parents or someone of that authority, I really ask for your forgiveness. But you know what I want to do? Actually, I want to just break that so that you could go on and you could move on and you could really be open. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you encourage them, Lord? And whatever that is binding, holding them back, Lord, I pray against those things that is hindering them. We take away those things, Lord. I uproot those things, Lord, from the core of their being. Maybe rejection, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of relationship, fear of man, fear of woman, competing. All those things, Lord, we want to be cleansed from. We want to be set apart. Lord, in that place, would you fill it with trust, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering? Would you come, Lord, bless them? Lord, I stand in the gap relationally and fill those gaps, Lord. Although they are at succeeding at a certain stage of their lives, but Lord, that in that area of relationship there was a lag and they didn't know how and they didn't know how to fill it. Lord, would you fill that gap right now, spiritually? Fill it, Lord. And I stand, Lord, as with the leadership of this church to stand there, Lord, and say, Lord, I be their cheerleaders. Go on, move forward. We ask for your impartation of the fruit of the Spirit. Come, grow in us, mature in us. Let love, joy, peace come. Come. Thank you, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Lord, I see, I envision a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I envision, Lord, that they will be set free. It is so freeing to be free, Lord. To love, to share, to give, to minister, to hug, to express verbally in service, in gift. But Lord, it's so freeing to be free to love. So Father, I envision every single one of us here have this fantastic relationship with one another and with you. So Holy Spirit, come, impart to us. Make us that container co-relationship as the blessing of the Holy Spirit come, Lord, that it will not leak because we have it. Wonderful, wonderful vessel. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless, bless, bless. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you glory, glory, glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.